Well, the 16th East Lansing Film Festival begins tonight with the documentary Inequality for All. This movie features former U.S. Labor Secretary Robert Reich as he seeks to address the widening American income gap. It's won awards at the Sundance Film Festival and at the Traverse City Film Festival. Inequality for All was directed by MSU graduate Jacob Kornbluth, who's in town for tonight's screening, and he joins us now in Current State. Welcome back to town.
Well, thanks for having me.
How long has it been since you've been back in East Lansing?
You know, too long. It's actually been quite a walk down memory lane to go try and piece back together my college experience.
When did you graduate?
I'm a class of 94.
Okay.
So a long time ago.
All right. Yeah. Let's start by hearing part of the theatrical trailer to Inequality for All, which gives voice to former Labor Secretary Robert Reich and his ideas about income inequality in America. He worked under Presidents Bill Clinton and Jimmy Carter.
Of all developed nations, the United States has the most unequal distribution of income, and we're surging toward even greater inequality. 1928 and 2007 become the peak years for income concentration. It looks like a suspension bridge.
Last year, we made $36,000.
I'd probably make $50,000 a year, working 70 hours a week.
The middle class is struggling.
Now, people occasionally say to me, what nation does it better? The answer is the United States. In the decades after World War II, the economy boomed, but you had very low inequality.
Do you know Robert Reich?
I do indeed.
He's a communist.
So tell us about working with Robert Reich.
Well, it was just an absolute honor and a pleasure, actually, to work with him. He's funny, which is something that you don't necessarily get from seeing him if you've seen him as a pundit on TV. And I really shared that sense of humor, and he's got this real with him, and he has this real sort of natural warmth about him that's that makes him sort of uniquely suited to be a guide for a topic like this.
And how much did the subject matter appeal to you as a filmmaker?
Well, the subject matter for me is I really think of this widening income inequality that we've been seeing in America over the last, say, 40 years or so as the defining issue of our times. It's certainly the most important one to me. It matters the most to me because I'm worried about my own economic state just about every day. Me and my friends constantly talk about what we're going to do about money. And so what the state of our economy is was deeply important for me to understand. About 2008 or so, after the economy crashed, I sort of decided that even though I'm not an economist and I don't have an economics degree or background, I actually graduated from the communications department here at MSU, but that this was something that I needed to know what was going on. I needed to know what was going on with the economy. So I set out to make this film because I couldn't think of anything else more important to do. It seems like the most important thing that it was what I was most worried about is what I can tell. I grew up poor too, and got to come to MSU on a financial aid scholarship, and certainly grew up with a keen awareness of who gets what in a society. And to see the way that the story was playing out, none of it was explaining it to me. I sort of didn't have a sense of what had happened to our economy from watching the news and reading, even though I watch the news and read a lot. I didn't really get it. And one of the proudest things in my mind for me about this film is that my wife, who's a school teacher and doesn't usually like economics and politics, she loves this movie, and not necessarily just because her husband made it, but because she, for the first time, feels like she gets it. She understands sort of what's going on. So that made me happy because that's really what I made the film for.
Your previous two feature-length films are fiction, Haiku Tunnel and The Best Thief in the World. What was that transition like going from fiction to nonfiction documentary?
You know, it didn't really feel like that different to me, honestly. I mean, I believe passionately in the power of story, and I applied that same passion to the fiction and the nonfiction work that I've done. I care a lot about, and I've spent the last 15 years of my life worrying about the story mechanics. How do you tell a story properly? Mm-hmm. And all that stuff applied to documentaries. There was certainly differences to making a documentary. This is my first doc, and it was it's a lot slower to make a documentary. You're shooting stuff all the time, and you're getting to know a character in a way that's different than writing a script and shooting it in a short period of time as you do in a fiction film. But the storytelling felt to me remarkably similar, and I felt like it was some of the best training that you could have for a documentary to have worked in, you know, screenwriting and fiction filmmaking.
Very interesting. Let's get back to Inequality for All. Without giving too much away, what's Secretary Reich's premise here? How is it this state of affairs, this inequality, has become so dominant?
Well, you know, how it's become so dominant is the subject of the movie, and it takes a while to describe, but the premise of the movie is that this is bad for everyone, that widening income inequality isn't about us versus them. For instance, the working class versus the rich or vice versa. Like, we have to be afraid of the other guy. The premise is that this really does hurt all of us, so that even the rich would do better with a smaller share of a rapidly growing economy than they are now with a larger share of an economy that's basically stagnant and going nowhere. So if we can change that framing from, boy, this is about who the bad guys are, and we're going to go get, say, you know, the evil rich people holding us down. Mm-hmm. And we're all in this together, and we'd be better off, including the rich, if this inequality were fixed. That's a massive change in the way we see the problem. And what you can see when you look at history is that when inequality was less, say in the three decades after the Second World War, as our clip showed at the beginning of the segment, you can see that when inequality was less, the economy grew. We saw the largest economic expansion in America, possibly in world history, when, you know, economic inequality in America was less. And as economic inequality grows, and at the peak of economic inequality was 1928 and 2007, when the rich have too much and the economy is just that out of balance, what ends up happening is the economy crashes. It did in 1929 for the Great Depression, and it did in 2008 for the Great Recession. So this isn't just a problem for some. It's not just a problem of, you know, us versus them. It's about we're all in it together.
We're talking with MSU graduate, movie director Jacob Kornbluth, who is in East Lansing for a screening tonight of his new documentary, Inequality for All. Did you cover the Occupy movement in the movie all?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Actually, the genesis of this film actually predates the Occupy movement, which was fascinating because when you first started talking about this film, people said, oh, economic inequality, isn't that a cute little idea that you have over there for the movie? And then it sort of blew up on the national scene when the Occupy movement sort of emerged. So I watched that happen as the film was getting made, and I was curious how this film would land in the sort of, well, it turns out it's more relevant than ever. I mean, right now in 2000, right as we sit today, as we sit here talking, the recession that ended supposedly in a few years ago, since it's ended, at 95% of the gains since the recession ended have gone to the top 1% here in America. So what you've seen is economic inequality skyrocketing again. And this was the story before the Occupy movement. The Occupy movement, I think, was an incredibly important movement to focus this issue in the national attention for the first time. But it really didn't have the, to my mind anyway, the sort of organization and discipline to affect the kind of change that I would have liked to have seen done. So I'm hoping that some of the folks who are motivated by issues like that can now re-engage with the problem and maybe try and fix it.
In terms of who comes to see this documentary, who do you expect will be interested in this? And kind of a follow-up question, do you ever feel as if you're preaching to the choir here?
Sure. No, it's a good question. Well, first of all, we had the good fortune to be picked up by a great distributor, the Weinstein Company, and he's got a great track record of getting films like this in front of people who wouldn't ordinarily see it. And we had the good fortune of playing this film in over 100 cities across America already. And it's gotten great reviews in places I wouldn't have expected, places like Mississippi and Tulsa and parts of the country that are certainly more conservative, where if there is a choir, it's a very small one. But there's always a challenge with an issue like this. I'd say that when people hear the topic, the title, Inequality for All, I don't think you get a sense of what I think is a very entertaining film. And pretty consistently, I run into people at the screenings whose friend dragged them to the screening, and they're like, oh, I didn't want to – I thought this was going to be like taking my medicine. And then they watch the movie, and they say, this is my favorite movie, you know, and I really get a sense. So it's – there's certainly a motivated choir that I think should see this film, because I think they're who helps get their friends to go to see it who aren't in that choir.
Okay.
And we've seen it start from the choir and spread out. It's an easy way to say it.
Do you hear from conservatives about this movie?
Oh yeah.
Do you expect to? They see them.
Oh yeah. No. Yeah. So they see. You know, I hear it's been remarkably civil. My discussions with conservatives about this film. And I have to say that's been heartening, because so much of what you hear about when you hear about the news or in the zeitgeist is how polarized we are and how it's impossible to talk across the ideological divide. And the conservatives who I've engaged with on this film, you know, they're worried about this too. Mm-hmm. Just because you're conservative, nobody likes the facts of how the economic distribution is right now. So nobody's like that, not even conservatives.
So between the lines, what you're hearing is there is a point at which income needs to be more evenly distributed throughout society.
You know, there's a couple of things that you hear. You hear that this isn't necessarily just a left-wing issue, mm-hmm. that conservatives are mm-hmm. worried about it too. I think that there's a different sense, and my frustration with the conservative point of view is, frankly, that they tend to think of this as sort of economic determinism, like this is just like the weather. The economy is just like the weather. But we make the rules of the economy, and the economy should be for us, not for, it didn't just happen.
Jacob Kornbluth is the director of Inequality for All, the documentary that launches this year's East Lansing Film Festival. Tonight at 7:30 at the Studio C Theaters in Okemos, he'll be there for the screening. The festival's schedule includes a talk with the filmmaker Justin Leach, an environmental panel discussion, and a filmmaker's roundtable discussion on Saturday. Find the complete schedule at elff.com. Jacob, thank you very much.